Hello, hello. Welcome all you wonderful women entrepreneurs and others. Whoever is watching our podcast today, I am so happy to be with you here. My name is Julie Anderson, and I am the hostess for the Women Entrepreneurs Podcast videocast and the founder of Women Entrepreneurs Extraordinaire. I am very happy to be here with yet another dynamic lady who has a lot of great wisdom, lots of great wisdom, and a wonderful topic: how to build multiple streams of income in your business. Like, that's something that all of us would love to have, right? So I want to welcome to the show Nicole Liloya, who is our guest today. Nicole, welcome.
Hi, Julie. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Now, I'm going to go ahead and read parts of your professional bio that we have here, because you've got a really, like, you've got a lot of vast knowledge, but it'll help the listeners and the watchers to kind of get a general idea of just where your wisdom's coming from and your experience. So you are New Jersey based. We were just talking before we started to press record about allergy season. So bear with us if we have an attack. She is a small business coach and strategist. Over the course of her 9 years in business, she's helped over 500 service providers build their businesses and diversify their income through multiple streams. Her signature Bigger Business Bootcamp and Grow Your Income Mastermind. She has a Facebook group that supports, over 10,000 entrepreneurs, giving them real unmatched support and resources to get to the next level in their business. In 2013, Nicole worked as a freelance counselor with nonprofits, and she launched her counseling private practice, working one-on-one with stressed out, anxious women, and her business just bloomed. So we're going to talk about her background just a little bit more. I'm going to have her share her story. She's no stranger to the press. She's been featured in Forbes, a writer in Tiny Buddha and Huffington Post, among others. She's also been a guest on multiple podcasts like The Introvertpreneur. Oh, I like that. We're going to have to talk to them. Inbox Besties and Kate Doster and Good Girls Get Rich podcast and The Rich Social Worker Show. Oh, I like that one too. Very cool. She received her master in social work from Columbia University. She loves to travel, enjoy a glass of apothic wine, and resides in New Jersey. So once again, welcome to the Women Entrepreneurs Podcast.
Thanks so much. I'm excited to talk about one of my favorite topics with
you. Yeah, it's so great. I love it. And I might, let's just start off, because I kind of left out part of that bio, just your background. Go ahead and share with our audience a little bit about, you know, you've got a master's in social work, right? Like, what led you to where you are at in your career now?
Yeah. So I got that master's in social work, and my intention was always to counsel kids and their families in terms of mental health struggles and, you know, behavioral stuff and all of that. And I started doing that right out of grad school. And I did that for a few years, but I got very, very burnt out just with, like, the bureaucracy of the systems. And of course, the focus on, you know, quantity of sessions over quality. And I stuck it out as long as I could to get the hours that I needed for, like, my full license where I could have a private practice. And then I took some time off to travel and volunteer. And while I was doing that, you know, I just really loved being able to be in a different culture. I was in Venezuela for about 3 months, and really, like, absorb it and just connect with people who live there, connect with other travelers. And when I got back, I was like, oh God, like, the thought of going to another 9-to-5 just, like, killed me. I was like, something must be wrong with me. I must be very lazy. Like, I've always loved working since I was young, but, like, why am I just dreading this? And I think I was just really honestly suffering from severe burnout, which I just missed on myself as a social worker, a mental health worker, because, you know, like, again, just kind of being in that rush world, you know, where it's like more work, where it's literally from years of grad school, big grad school loans, not making much money, just trying to, like, juggle everything. And, you know, and being in a job where you take care of a lot of other people, and already had several traumas in the family with parental illness and stuff like that. So I was also used to kind of being like an emotional caretaker in my family. So I think I just like got that pause. And you know, when you just kind of feel like you've been run over by a truck when you finally slow down, because like the adrenaline races, like leaves your body and you're like, oh my gosh, like I can't move. What's going on? So I basically took some time to just kind of freelance and things like that, which is sort of rare as a social worker. And eventually I did decide to kind of go back and like start a private practice. And I did that, but then I was kind of like, oh God, I just recreated a 9 to 5 for myself. This was like 10 years ago. So you were in an office, people weren't doing online counseling then. And, you know, I had my own office, I was filling spots, but it was just like, oh my God, like I have to be in this office. I have to see clients all day. Like that's the way I get paid. If I take a day off, if I want to like leave earlier, switch my schedule, like it means canceling clients and not making money. And like, what the heck did I do? So that was really like the start of my early like business owner career.
That's interesting. So that's kind of what made you look into being an entrepreneur then.
Yeah, like having that business and like at the same time I discovered like, you know, online Facebook groups for business owners and coaching, and I was like, God, it seems like so much more creative than like fitting into this like structure, again, the bureaucratic structure, trying to get insurances to pay for counseling, you know, trying to make sure like you're doing everything right, whereas I felt like, you know, like weekly sessions and you know there's just like this weird structure that it's very hard to break the mold around it, and I just felt like coaches, just there was a lot of creativity there around the way they could work with people. I like love the idea of being able to support, you know, being able to support clients through email via in between sessions. So I started to add coaching services in as well. And you know, started kind of just playing around with other income streams, many which did not work. And then I finally actually ended up, you know, having some success with like affiliate income and things like that. And people started asking for help around those things. And all of a sudden, you know, people, it just kind of kept progressing, which I'm sure you see and I'm sure your audience knows is like you start in one area and it just takes you to where you're meant to be, right? Like with a lot of twists and turns and stress all along the way.
So interesting. I always love hearing that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell the listeners about a book that we have in a little bit, but it's, you know, what brought up, I love hearing the story of what kind of arc was in a person's life that took them from, because I find with so many entrepreneurs and they started out over here with their career and this is what they studied for, but they wind up building a business over here, and maybe it's connected in some ways, but sometimes it's quite different than their actual education background. So it's very interesting. Now, when you're talking about that, so you mentioned that part of your success started coming from that affiliate, and that's a whole, you know, that's a whole topic in itself. You know, maybe we should come back and talk about that on another podcast. But that's, you know, that's a way for a lot of people. You see that happening in a lot of ways. Affiliate marketing is similar to what you're doing on Spotify, or not Spotify, the online stores when you're selling things on Amazon that you never actually touch, right? You're just selling somebody else's things, and that's kind of basically affiliate work. But what is the Shopify? Yes, Shopify. Spotify's music.
Yeah,
So
right.
there's another one of those. They're just too close. But when you're talking to the women entrepreneurs who are listening or aspiring women entrepreneurs, what's the best time? Because there, you wouldn't necessarily want to start off in the beginning. I don't think a lot of times when I coach my clients, it's focus on your zone of genius right away. Let's get something simple. Let's get you know, your one thing in the beginning and then branching it off. So in your into multiple items or multiple products or multiple systems that you can sell. So, in your opinion, what is the best time to start those multiple streams of income in your business?
when you have steady one-to-one income. So, I really think that the reality is, as much as people want multiple income streams, I do think it is important that your financial needs are covered already with one-to-one income, that you have steady leads, that, like you're doing the work that you enjoy. Like, you enjoy the work, you enjoy your audience. You sort of work through some of the tweaks and the twists that come up when you start with an audience, because I think, you've probably seen it, with your clients where, there becomes almost like an obsessiveness, which I had, to get the perfect audience, to get the perfect service, because it's like, it is stressful. It feels like a big life-changing decision. It is in a lot of ways. And we want this like perfect niche, perfect service, perfect product, whatever it is. And I think a lot of times it's just like starting with what you know. When I shifted kind of into coaching, my focus was stress management. There was like enough of an overlap with like my counseling clients where I didn't feel like I was like going on the opposite end of something completely, but it was enough separated that I could protect my therapy license and all of that, my counseling license, and have it separated. It wasn't like I was like so like, oh, I want to do this forever, but it was like enough of something to get me into something else and to see where it went from there. But I do think for sure I see a lot of people who don't have consistent income yet, and they think with one-to-one clients, right? And this is for service provider, service-based businesses in terms of that, because that's who most of my audience is. But they're then like, okay, let me just create a book. Let me just create this, and it's like, or create a course, right? That's always, they were like, well, I need passive income. But if you don't have a big enough audience to kind of fill one-to-one service spots, then you're not going to have a big enough audience for the other things. Or, if you don't have an audience, or you don't have people signing up for your one-to-one services, something's off in your messaging, in your niche, like you're not clear with it. So it's definitely a sign to kind of work on things and tweak things before trying to expand, because it just means you don't have the foundational pieces in place, and that is very frustrating. It's frustrating. I didn't want to hear it, but it's just, when it was happening to me, but it really is the truth.
No, that's great advice. Great advice. Focus, get the one engine running really smooth and pulling in the income, and then being able to expand beyond that. But I like that. If you don't have people in your main lane responding, you have to tweak all of that, because you want everything that you do to be successful, and not just like casting stones into the water and seeing which one, that's a weird analogy. I said it wrong. But anyways, casting things and just hoping something happens, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So we talked about working on that, but let's say if, how are ways that a beginner, so they get their one-to-one going, but then how do they begin to create multiple streams into their business after that? So you mentioned, like, for yourself, share with us the story of what you did the coaching, the stress management, that was your main one-to-one. How do you then, branch that? How does someone branch beyond that to create those multiple streams of income?
Yeah. And, I just also want to say it's so important to stick with your same audience for other income streams, because it's the other big error I see people make. Like, they have that first income stream, that first audience, and then they're like, oh, let me completely do something for a different audience. So say your audience is, like stressed out women balancing work and home life. Then all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, there's like a lot of stressed out teen girls there in the world too, and they're dealing with XYZ. You know what I mean? So I see a lot of people try to do that, like create multiple services for different audiences, which that is not the way you want to go with multiple income streams. You want to stick with the same, like multiple services or products for the same audience, because otherwise you're going to spread yourself too thin and constantly need to start from like ground zero. So the next step really is that making sure that in addition to like one-to-one clients, one, I always like to stress, like, I am not someone who's going to be like, go for passive income. There really is no such thing as passive income. It really is more about leverage, right? Like being able to serve more people, people, you know, within the time you have. Like, passive income is a myth. Like, it costs a ton of money and time behind the scenes. So I think people just should be careful with that. Again, another thing I like to be honest about. But the key is to really start to build that audience and talk to your clients and see, like, are there other services or products they'd want from you? Like, you know, are they looking for community? Are they looking for, you know, some DIY type stuff? Are they looking for, you know, video trainings or audios or whatever? Again, whatever is based around your audience, you know, and I think that's where I really struggled is, like, I wasn't clear. This truthfully, the stress management coaching didn't take off because I didn't really do good market research. And I was kind of like, I could help all stressed out women. Okay, that's pretty much every woman, but not like focusing on a specific audience and looking at even who I was working with and starting from there. So I think the key is really market research, which again, for anybody who's like, well, I feel you. I skipped it for a long time. It probably hurt me a lot because I skipped it. But when I started really doing market research and seeing what people wanted from me, like what they were starting to know me for, it really was a lot of people who wanted to quit their job. They didn't necessarily want to start a business. They wanted to get out of their current job and do something different. Like I had years before when I had quit and traveled and volunteered and things like that. So that was really interesting to me. They were struggling to kind of complete their goals. And they weren't interested in that, like, kind of standard lifestyle 10 years ago, which was like go to school, you know, go to college, get a job, stick with it for a long time. Now there's a lot more options, but you know, even years ago, not that long ago, it was still was kind of prescribed. So they were like, you know, I want things to be different.
Yeah. And it very, very interesting. Now, you'd also talk about because probably partially because of your psychology background, you talk about money blocks for people. Do you think that this is something that will block entrepreneurs? Like multiple streams of income are great, but are there blocks in there about, oh, I could never do that? Or blocks that are, you know, you said wait till you have a really strong one-to-one. And if they're not successful in the one-to-one, could it be these money blocks? What is a money block and how do you address that?
Yeah, so money blocks are just negative beliefs you have around money, and they're usually very specific. So everyone's blocks may look different, or we may have similar ones. So it might be like, you know, I can't make money easily. I have to work harder to make money. So that might be something that might prevent you from looking at like leveraged income or raising your rates and feeling like, oh, I just have to fill up more hours in the week. In order to make more money, which we all have limited hours. So that's not the only thing you want to focus on. It might be something like, oh, well, there's already people out there doing this work. Nobody's going to pay me to do this. It's sort of things like that that really can sabotage you from taking action to like growing. You know, maybe it's like, I'm not capable of making XYZ dollars. I'm not making capable of making $100,000. So they can absolutely get in your way around, you know, initial income streams and everything and growing beyond just your first income stream. It may be like, you know, like again, like that's not possible for me, you know, when you see people with an audience or visibility. So, like, if you don't believe it's possible, you're really not even going to put yourself in a position where you're going to get that visibility and growth. So, that's how it could sort of hold you back and sabotage you. Or it might be like, hey, this is too easy. You know, like maybe like something is selling well and it's like something's wrong here. Why is this so easy? Like, I feel guilty. You know, maybe I'm like cheating people some way. Like, shouldn't I be giving them more? You know, that kind of thing that a lot of times leads us to overwork. Work and burn out.
And that's going to definitely make it so that doing multiple streams of income is going to be challenging. So let's say that, give us some examples of multiple streams that someone can add. So they have they have a really good one-to-one, whether that is doing people's websites, you know, being a website developer or social media. Like I handle social media for people. You can only have so many clients in those types of situations, right? So you can't, and this is where people, I think you, I like what you said about passive income. It's even passive income, right? That people view it that way. They sometimes they think, oh, that means I never have to do any work. And it's just going to constantly roll in. And you can do businesses that you can work remotely. You can be sitting on a beach, but that doesn't mean you're not still working in your business, right? It doesn't mean that you're not still. So
Definitely.
yeah, so you have to nurture that no matter what it is in order to have that, what some people would view
And you
passive
have to
income.
sell. You have to sell. I think a lot of people have the mistaken idea. And listen, it's nobody's fault that you kind of are getting into this because there's a lot of people out there that put out misguided messaging about courses and things that sell on repeat. It's not that you can't have that, but you have to sell it and you have to constantly be growing your audience to keep selling it. So the work just looks different. So I personally love, first of all, I think also just not even just one-to-one, you know, getting away from one-to-one services, but maybe looking at different ways of packaging it. So are there intensives that you could do, right? Maybe like one day or a few hours or things like that that you could do. There is things like groups that you could do where you work with people for a certain amount of time. Maybe it's like a certain amount of weeks. I've had clients who have had like 6 week groups, clients who have like 6 month groups that meet two times a month. So there's groups that you could do where you could be bringing people into them and selling that, working with a lot of people, not even a lot necessarily. Like one of my groups is my mastermind. There's 12 people in it. It's a good amount, but everybody gets a lot of personalized attention still. So it might be groups with a lot of people that are more hands off, or it might still be groups that are, you know, more higher level of service that you're providing them, but it is a group of people. Some of the things are combined, so it's not as much one-to-one work for you. There's also you can have a team where you hire people to take on clients and do the work that you're doing for clients to do the same work you're doing, so you could serve more clients that way. There is, you know, there's things that people could buy. So maybe as a website, you know, designer, you have templates for websites, or you have, you know, other kinds of templates that you do. Or maybe I've definitely seen people where it's sort of like a DIY course where they take a group of people through building a site or building something at the same time. So there's a bunch of those things. There is the affiliate income, which is basically like referral income. So a web designer might sell, like for example, I'm an affiliate for like a stock photo library because I use it. I love it. I like to have a variety of stock photos. They also have like templates in there that you could use with Canva. So maybe like this web designer sells that because, you know, the clients want it for their other areas of their business. They want to have templates that they could brand with their branding and stuff like that. So they'll get a portion of those sales, but they don't have to create anything new or provide any service for it. But they do have to obviously be selling it. So those are some income streams. If you're an in-person provider, you might sublet your office the days or hours you're not there. You know, that's another income stream too.
I like that. Lots of different ways, lots of different. So great. I'm sure that it would be a great. Now, I'm just going to ask you this now. I still have another question or two for you, but do you do sessions with people where you can block out an hour or half hour and they pay you for your consultation time and you help them develop, or do you just or help them open their mind to different streams of income like you just did with us? Or do you just have the groups that you work with?
I do have one-to-one clients still, and then I have a higher level mastermind for people who are already have consistent income and are scaling into multiple income streams. And then I have like a lower touch group program where people get more help with that like initial piece of business foundations and making sure they have consistent income. Because a lot of us are not trained business owners. We're accidental entrepreneurs. So a lot of times, like we do get that one income stream off the ground, but we're constantly employees in our own business. We're good at delivering the services, but like we're overworked. We're not strategic at all. We're focused on the service and we're not really looking at the business or taking care of that as a whole. So it helps give people those foundational services, those foundational things, having that in place. So that way, they can scale more, they can add in a new income stream or scale and have more growth without being overwhelmed. And I think that's really important. A lot of people come to me, and of course, their goal is new income streams, but the reality is we have to clean up their first income stream and their current business model. You know, what are they doing that's not working? Where are the money leaks? Where are the time leaks? We want your first income stream at maximum profitability before you add in something else.
Got it. That, you know what? That's good, because one of the things that is, I'm going to put on my brain lady hat when I talk about the brain personality connection and, you know, being able to really identify where your natural brain strengths are in your brain, which shameless plug, go to brainpersonalityassessment.com to find out what your natural gifts are. But that is, oh, there we go. We got a QR code and everything. Those are, it's important to understand that most entrepreneurs, the home of entrepreneurialism is in the front right quadrant of the brain, right? So those are individuals, the personalities are oftentimes these big, that are entrepreneurs, are these big open-minded thinkers, innovators. They have brilliant ideas every minute of every day. And so a lot of times, you know, you get all of these entrepreneurs, especially new in the world of entrepreneurialism, who haven't learned those business basics. They have all these brilliant ideas and they want all of these multiple streams. But here's the kicker. The part of the brain that tracks the details is the diagonally opposite. It's the hardest place to access for a lot of entrepreneurs. So it looks good in their mind and it may be brilliant ideas. But like you said, if you don't have the first one organized and functioning and working well, then, you know, the other ones. I know I suffer from that from time to time. Just saying.
Right.
I'm
And it
just
sucks. I always tell my clients, look, it sucks. We always want to be 10 steps ahead of where we are. And this piece is like painful, but it's really hard to scale or serve more people if like the behind the scenes is a mess. You're going to burn out, you know, like you're overworking in areas that don't make sense. And it is like being a boss of yourself and really being honest with what's working and what's not. And it sucks when things that we want to work aren't working. And it happens sometimes. And we have to really look at, you know, do what is it's something that is changeable? Should we tweak things a little bit? Or is it something that like I just need to let go of for now?
Right. Very good. Very good points. Very good points. You don't have to give it up altogether if it's something you're really passionate about. You just put it on the back burner. You just let it sit there until you're ready and your business is ready, because there's nothing worse than doing a launch that isn't successful and then you're like, "What's wrong?" It's yeah. So one, we're getting close to the 30-minute mark, and we know that that's a good time period for a lot of these podcasts. But give us a you mentioned, how do you, is what and how, what is and how do you income goal chunk? So I'm
So
thinking multiple streams of income, all that stuff. Like, how do you chunk it? How do you basically organize it?
So income goal chunking is basically when at the start, you know, when you're looking at your yearly income and what you want to earn, you really break it down based on your different income streams, which are the different income chunks, right? So like at the start of the year, I look at, okay, like, you know, if my income goal is 100K, you know, how much is coming from one-to-one clients, right? And again, when you're adding in new income streams, The reality is, it's not an overnight switch. Because I know so many people who are burnt out from one-to-one clients and are like, I just want to be done. I want groups. I want courses. I want passive income. And I'm going to be honest, that's not really realistic initially because most of us don't have the big audiences to start selling new things. So the reality is, if you've not added any new income streams, your one-to-one service is probably going to be at least 50% of your current of your revenue goal. So you want to definitely keep that in mind. And then say maybe, you have a group program that, you want to be $25,000 of an income chunk over the year. And it's really then looking at, okay, like how many members is that in a group? Is this like two rounds of 2 6-month groups? Like what am I charging? How many people could be in it? So it really gets you to look at the nitty-gritty of even like how many people you need to sell it. So like I'll see people who are like, okay, $10,000 from a book. But the reality is from a book, you may be only getting like $5, depending if you're selling it yourself. So you really need to then look at that and say, okay, that means I need to sell 2,000 bucks. Do you have an audience of 2,000 of more than 2,000 people to get 2,000 sales? So I think it helps really lay it out in numbers and also see what's possible. So I've had clients who have been like, they realize actually they're holding themselves back in their goal. Like they're like, oh, I'll just make maybe an extra 10K this year. And they're like, I'm already really close to that. If I just do this, like if I just have a couple more people here or like raise my rates $10, a session or whatever, depending how, or raise my packages, $500. Like, wow, like I could really make more money and like decrease my work hours. So goal chunking is really just like laying that all out. So that way then you can turn that into your monthly goal and then your weekly action plan so that you do have a focus on sales every week, which again, a lot of us don't have as business owners. We just kind of accidental business owners who are just like
Exactly.
clients, they're gonna fall out of the sky. I keep hoping for
Yeah.
that.
It's interesting when working with female or women entrepreneurs for so many years, and it happens for men as well. They don't necessarily, when you go into the entrepreneurial world, where oftentimes you fight against the corporate feel, right? You fight against, I don't want that. I'm an entrepreneur. But the fact of the matter is, looking at the business plan side of things and the way they do business, or not necessarily the way they do business with customer service and those types of things, but the organization part of it is so important. And so many women do not do a business plan. And I'm not saying you have to do a business plan that you can take into your local bank for a loan. That's not what I'm talking about. You need to have a plan for your business and you need to have it written down and in a place you can often refer to it. So like, is my action this week in alignment with my business plan?
Yeah, you definitely
Right?
need to
Does
be intentional about the
Yeah.
actions you're taking and strategic in terms of what's working, what's not, what do I need to do more of and less of, and all of that.
Yep. And this has been such a great conversation. We could keep going. It's so long. So many different ways, but let's stay on focus. And the focus at this point is how people can stay in contact with you. And what are some of the resources, like somebody listening right now or watching right now says, you know what? I want to work with Nicole right now. You have like, we're going to put three different things in our show page and in the notes. You have a bigger business boot camp, you have a mentorship, and you have a mastermind wait list. So tell us about those three things really briefly so that everybody can have a just a view and then they can find out more by going to the links.
Yeah, Bigger Business Bootcamp is more of the lower level support for creating consistent income and getting those business foundations in place that I talked about earlier, the group program. The Grow Your Income Mastermind is if you already have consistent income and you're ready to go beyond one-to-one clients into new income streams. And one-to-one is really a is just a 4-month one-to-one supportive mentorship with strategy and support for your income goals. And it is if you have a business set up already that's struggling to kind of just get that consistent income initially from one income stream, or if you are ready to scale to multiple income streams and you like some of that one-to-one support versus being part of a group program.
Beautiful, beautiful. We'll have those on there. And you can stay, you can find her website at Nicole. Now I'm going to murder the last thing.
You did such a good job. NicoleLaLoya.com.
Awesome. Perfect. And I'm sure there's social medias where you can be, you can email her at Nicole@NicoleLaLoya.com. You can also connect with her on social as at NicoleLaLoya on Instagram, and Facebook is at LaLoya.Nicole. And Nicole is just spelled, for anybody that's listening and not watching, it's N-I-C-O-L-E. Nicole spelled different ways, I noticed, for different people. So lots of different ways that you can connect and stay connected. Reach out to Nicole, get, you know, do one of those consultations or join, you know, one of her basic groups and just to get your feet wet and know, get some wisdom. And I'm sure she shares lots of tidbits of that on social media. So follow her there. Then other than that, thank you so much, Nicole, for being on the Women Entrepreneur Show today. It was a pleasure having you here.
Thanks so much for having me. It was great to connect.
Absolutely. All right. For those of you who are listening, all the information is in the show page or is in the comments on the show page. And of course, on our YouTube channel, in the comment section as well. We want to encourage everyone to give us a little bit of social media love for this. Oftentimes we listen to things, and I know I'm guilty of doing that myself, is I'll see a post. I just recently started trying to change this, but we'll see a post. We listen to something that we think is really powerful, and we're like, oh, this is great. I should share this. And we never actually do, or we don't comment. So here's the thing. Social media runs off of algorithms, and the algorithms run off of comments and thumbs up and likes and all of that. So engage with us. Show us some love. Follow us on social media. Our Instagram, our growing Instagram, is at we.extraordinaire. And then we have also our womenentrepreneursextraordinaire.com website, which is so beautiful. It's up. It's launched. We have a wonderful membership that is only $45 a year. And that gets you your listing on our membership page. And you can cross link for all that SEO mumble jumble stuff that happens. So do that. Join us. Be with us. And please think about sharing your expertise in our new book. Hopefully by the time, if I'm making this announcement, when this actually airs, we have our Women Excelling Everywhere co-author book. There's going to be 35 authors. The spaces are obviously limited. We want to know what your passion is and what led you to success. So we'd love to have you talk to us about becoming a co-author in the book. And you can check all that out right here in this little QR code. All right, ladies and everyone listening or watching, thank you so much for being here today, for sharing your time. Thank you again, Nicole, for being here. And as
thank
I
you.
Like, absolutely. And as I like to close out all of the shows, I would like for everyone to take a nice deep breath, go outside, enjoy a little sunshine, get a little vitamin D, and simply enjoy every moment.